Let's open the text to Revelation chapter 2. Church to Thyatira. A grave warning to all assemblies throughout the church history. Let's see, as far as announcements are concerned, Tish got back the results, the lab work on the lymphoid that was taken out, and it is benign. They said, so we haven't heard from that yet.
Yeah.
But the skin, okay. Yes. It's also benign. Okay. She's doing better. A elderly lady that would come to the class in Hot Springs, Arkansas, Ann Lister, went home to be with the Lord, I guess it would have been Sunday. And I love that dear lady. She came up to me, and she and I have the same Bible church type background and things. And she said one of the dearest things. She said, I'm ready to die now because for the first time in all my life, I see the truth, what God is really looking for. And she just gave me a hug and said, thank you so much for letting me see it before I go to the throne. And so the Lord called her home and Lister. She has a daughter and a son that I'm aware of. Hi. And so I might be in prayer for them. And so when I go to Hot Springs, we'll be minus one dear lady that came and saw it and appreciated it. So name is Ann Lister, home with the Lord. Fact that they call me and really want me to get back up to Hot Springs and Conway, and it's been a long time since I've been up there, so maybe sometime in July I told them we'd try to arrange where I go up there and teach for a while. And so bear that in mind. Let's see, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes. Okay. Lonnie is Leslie's uncle, Tisha's brother and all. Okay. That happened today? Okay, I'll have to call and see what's going on. To orient you, Lonnie's wife died earlier this year when I went to California and did that funeral service. And how old is Lonnie? 65, I think. Right in there, and not doing real well health-wise. So let's be in prayer for Lonnie and family of whatever God is doing in that respect. I don't know the area of West Tuttle. How you doing, sir? Glad to have you back here. We appreciated you making the music for us Sunday morning, but it left a little to be desired. You're not right there to see what you do. You spoil us because you kind of blend in with you make quick adjustments back there. And glad to have you back, Wes.
Tell Wes what you told him Sunday about.
Oh, I told him about how Don had emailed us and all the compliments and all, and you and I said, boy, he must be hard up for music. Good to see you back. Now, what I was going to say was, am I very big on being led of the Spirit? I have not questioned my dear friend Leslie whether the Holy Spirit is leading her to jump out of a plane the next week or so or not. I'm not going to, but she and Jerry are going up to Minnesota to Jerry's family home ground, and then that's one thing you're going to do is jump out of a plane. I asked Jerry if he's going to jump out, and he looked at me like, are you crazy? Not is he crazy. Am I crazy to even ask him? And yeah, there you go. Did you see Did you see? Yeah, he's 80. Did you see the editorial comic that was so good? They had these agents that have to follow the previous presidents, and one of them said, "It's an easy gig," you said. "He's an old man," you said. "He will sit around and watch TV," you said. "He'll take afternoon naps," you said. I thought that was pretty good. Well, Leslie, we're gonna top of your parachute is our prayer. We're gonna be in prayer that it is exciting and fun and safe. Leonardo, I saw a life on Leonardo da Vinci and how he actually drew what we have as a helicopter, and he had things that he used to experiment things and all. And I think it looks great, but I don't know. God just didn't do that, and didn't give me those. So more power to you, lady, and we'll be in prayer. And okay, we got a very good warning lesson to do tonight, and with the Church of Thyatira, let's begin with a word of prayer. It's a warning to all of us. Let's pray. Doggone it, Heavenly Father, it seems like we struggle so long to get it right, to understand what you're looking for. The life of Job, the life of Abraham and David, the journey that all these men and women through the Bible go through, a whole life of learning. What you're looking for is just trust the one you send. But even that isn't when it's over, because the adversary can come and chop us down, even when we're doing it right. Father, pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see in the Church of Thyatira, individually and in this assembly. Father, we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Last week, we saw what a wonderful description of the Church of Thyatira was. And you kind of ask yourself, wow, what could go wrong with such an assembly? And look at verse 19. I know your deeds. And remember, this was a general term. And now we have four behavioral patterns for the believer who's walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And your love, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness, fruit of the Spirit. Service, serve one another in love. And perseverance. And that your deeds of late are greater than at first. Wow. You just want to stop there. But look at the next thing now. We come to the diagnosis, a warning. This is the longest rebuke of all the churches. And I find that interesting, that it's the longest rebuke for the church that is doing it really correctly and has the manifestation of love going, because the head of the church cares about the Church of Thyatira. He cares, they're doing it right, and he cares so much that they continue doing it. So this is the longest of the ones given to the churches. Okay, verse 19. We start off with that word that is a frightening word. But. Well, I guess verse 20. But. Wow. You just, everything's good, this is good, this is good, this is good, but. And you go, oh no, here it comes. The problem in this wonderfully assembled church characterized by the love of Christ, there was a cancer. And we ask ourselves, how could anything go wrong, Herman? If they're doing it right, if they're actually walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, how can they be doing it right, walking in that power by faith, serving one another in love? How can it go wrong? Please look at Galatians 5 with me. This is so important. Galatians chapter 5. I love the book of Galatians. It's the foundation of all of Paul's teaching and all of the New Testament understanding. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 7. Galatians 5, verse 7. Let's take a look. The first phrase, you were running well. Okay, people, here's an assembly. very first, very near the beginning of the church age. And look what it says, you're running well. This is exactly what's happening in Thyatira. They were running well according to what pleases God. See, running well means according to some standard. It has to be a standard as to whether you're running well. So, you got a lot of people running, but whether a person's running well, there's a lot of barrier, a lot of things we can talk about. If we're just talking about track, you've got age, event, got a lot of different things, and then the time. And even then we can talk about is an indoor track, outdoor track, these kind of things. So, here, if we just take it from, you were running well, boy, your time is really good. And your rhythm of running, breathing, everything is good. Now, when we deal with it in the church, you're running well. Here's an assembly of believers. Well means according to what God desires, and that's that we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. But look what it says. You were running. Running gives you the idea, not only are they doing it, they're making headway. And that's why I say this is like the church of Thyatira, because what did he say at the verse of 19? Your deeds of late are greater than at first. That's like running. Boy, you started off walking in the Spirit, then you went into a fast walk, then a slow jog, and now you are running. Your deeds of right recently are far better than they were in the first. So they're running well. Now look what happened in Galatia. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Now, before I go any further, I'm going to start you off with the answer to that question for Thyatira. Jezebel, a prophetess named Jezebel. So when we say who in Thyatira, we're going to be told who it is. It is a woman named Jezebel, and that's not an accident that that's her name. Okay, Galatians 5:7. You were running. People, I want to spend a minute here. I want to spend a little time here because I don't want us just study these things and, okay, we understand it. I want us to be warned and look. How could this happen? What, and this is one of the things I think that need to be done a lot of times. What could happen to our marriage? Boy, our marriage started off so good. What could happen to our life? What could happen to this and that? And on, we were, you know, and things, if you don't keep guard, things happened. You were running well. Who hindered? Okay, somebody's come in to hinder you from obeying the truth. First of all, what's the great question is, what is the truth? What does it mean, obeying the truth? The truth is the truth of the gospel, which we've seen in Galatians, and that is that God does everything, and he does it through the two sendings, and all that you and I have to do, the obeying, is the obedience of faith. The obedience that God is looking for is the obedience that is faith. So, the obeying is faith. So, who hindered you from walking by faith is a good way of looking at what we have going on here. Who hindered you from obeying truth? Now we got that who, that little cryptic proverbial who that runs through the Bible, impersonal. But people, wherever you have it through the Bible, it is in reference to the power of darkness. Now he'll come across in many different ways. In Thyatira, he'll come through Jezebel. But he comes through many different ways. So here we have the power of darkness, Satan. And he comes through false teachers. This is what happens to all the churches, false teaching here, except for Ephesus. And they have a unique problem there. Now, in Thyatira, we know who that is. It's Jezebel. In Galatia and in Thyatira, they're running well, which means they're really moving forward in the Spirit-filled life. Then someone, and remember what Jude said? Crept in unnoticed. Paul said, sneak in. They sneak in and start teaching. And there it goes. People, we got to be warned. When an individual or an assembly walks by the power of God the Holy Spirit by faith, the adversary cannot stand it, and he will come in to hinder you or that assembly from running so well. And he's going to do whatever he can. Now, saying that, where does that take you? It takes you to understanding right from the beginning, the garden. That's why I tell you, the first few chapters of Genesis, the first two or three chapters of Job, so crucial to understanding the whole Christian life. Here you have man and a woman in a garden doing well. Who came in and kept you from doing it? And it's a warning that we have to see throughout all the Bible. He's going to come in when you're running well, walking well, trying to walk in the power of the Spirit. He's going to come in and intrude. It can happen, people, and it happens quickly. It happens quickly how he does this type of thing. Okay, verse 8. This persuasion, the persuasion to disobey the truth, we're in Galatians 5. This persuasion, the persuasion to disobey the truth, and after spending a day with Dan Hill last week, I'm going to have to do some work on persuasion. I love this little assembly because probably if you're like me, you don't even know what's going on in that area, and I sure didn't. But Dan likes to keep up with all of this, and he'll call John and I and tell us these type of things that are going on. But in the Bible church movement, the attack on the gospel is just unbelievable with Calvinism, but and persuasion has to do a great deal with it. But anyway, this persuasion, so they were persuaded to make a volitional decision. This persuasion did not come from him who calls you, God the Father. Now, a very important principle for Thyatira and for us. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Okay, just takes a little false teaching, and it will leaven the whole local assembly. A little Jezebel leavens the whole assembly, and we're going to find out what she was about. So this passage, Galatians 5, introduces how an assembly can be doing so well and get into trouble. And so we're not judging, we're being exhorted in all of this, which is what Christ is going to do. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 2. Revelation 2:20. Okay. But let's just read the sentence. But I have this against you, that you tolerate. There's the problem, people. There's your key word. You tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bond servants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Okay, those of you who take notes, here's your principle. Spiritual love has a built-in danger. Spiritual love has a built-in danger. Love will often tolerate. Love will put up with Jezebel. There's a built-in danger, people, if I can word it that way. Now, if I were in seminary and we had to deal with the absolute arguments and thesis paper, I'd have to do a lot of satisfying of a professor in this. But with you and I, we can just talk. There's a built-in danger of grace. There's a built-in danger of love. And it's toleration. Often a believer who believes in spiritual love and desires spiritual love in their lives will tolerate sinful activity, tolerate false teachers, tolerate these things going on. That's one of the handicaps or dangers of love. Here in Thyatira, they tolerated a false teacher. Now, think with me now. In Ephesus, they would not have put up with false teachers. They would not have put up one moment with Jezebel. Not a second. She wouldn't have even got in the front door. Jezebel would never have had any influence in Ephesus. But Ephesus had no love. Ephesus was divorced of love. Now, do we talk and babble of the differences here? I think we can. Because where there was no love, do you remember what Christ said to the church of Ephesus in the warning? He said, I will remove you from existence. Because there wasn't any love. He doesn't do that at Thyatira. And I think that's on purpose. The church of Ephesus? Yeah, exactly. What you're saying, yes. What you're saying, exactly correct. but just the wording that he would take them out. He didn't do that here. Well, there's a love problem. All you need to do is be aware of what needs to be done and how to do these things. Because there's a proper way even to take care of a Jezebel and an improper way. In fact, I'm just going to tell you right now, God, the Lord doesn't come along and just kick Jezebel and all of that. He's going to give her an opportunity to repent. That's how wonderful your Lord is. As horrible as all the things she's going to cause, he's just going to say, hey, you got an opportunity here. Get with it. So we need to learn how to deal with these things when they come along and according to his plan. But no words like that of I'm going to take you out of existence are directed at this church. They're so close, they're doing it, and they just need to be made aware. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel. Okay, let's start off, but. Disturbing conjunction a la, used to introduce some diversity to what is preceded. What is preceded, how wonderful they were doing it right. They were walking in the power of the Spirit, and they were loving as Christ loved. Then it says, I, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, I have present active indicative of our old friend Echo, which looks like this, E-C-H, long O, Echo, means to have so as to possess or to hold judicially. Here, to hold judicially. Remember, we've seen how this whole spiritual warfare is looked up in the realm of there is a one existing God. Secondly, there is a higher creature with angels. And then third, the whole scene is set in a judicial setting. So this is what he means by I have. Then it says, this against you, charges in a judicial observation. What is missing or what is present that should not be missing? It should not be present. So you got two different ways you can look at this. What is missing in Church of Thyatira, or what is present that should not be present? See, in Ephesus, what was not there? Love. Now, the love is there in Thyatira, but there's something there that should not be. So we have the conjunction translated that. Conjunction hate. It introduces the content or argument to which the preceding words refer. So we have but. Diversity to what has been said before, you're doing it right. Then we have this against you, that. So that introduces what he's going to have against them. So it introduces the argument, or the content of the preceding word, I have against you. Now, what does he have? You tolerate and the woman Jezebel. But let's just talk about their problem. Present active indicative, it means present tense, this is almost characteristic to them, denoting what is going on, of the verb L. Let me put that on a board for you. It's an interesting word. E, I give it an H-E sound, A, long O. Now, the word means to permit. The word means to let be. The word means not to hinder. This introduces the heart of the problem of this wonderful church of Thyatira. They tolerate the false teacher. This is what they do. Now, we have studied how in the book of Jude is written about what? False teachers. How horrible they are to the church from the beginning. Not just the beginning of the church, but remember in Jude, we say how far back it goes back to history. This is the problem. False teachers coming in. Teachers that sound right, sound good, but are not. Now, before we stop and look at the false teacher, let's examine the rest of the verse and get all of this down, and then we can be talking about it as we interact everything. The false teacher in Thyatira is identified. The woman, Jezebel. The Hebrew, her name in the Hebrew means, get ready, chaste, untouched, intact, unproductive, without husband. Not used as a name, but just the word, root word. It can refer to a virgin, or it can refer to a lascivious woman. Now, at one time, Jezebel was probably a very lovely name for a girl. Probably a very lovely name. But after the period of Jezebel in the Old Testament, you just don't run across very many girls named Jezebel. I don't know that I've ever, not by her parents, called under that anyway. And people just don't name their children, their little girls, Jezebel. It's kind of like what Judas did with his name, with the mark he put on his name. You don't run across very many people who name their sons Judas. They're just, these are two names, Judas and Jezebel, that they're marked, and you just don't generally do that. You'd rather name your boy named Sue or something rather than naming him Judas or Jezebel. And but we'll come into studying her as we go through a little bit more. Let's examine the rest of it. Now, what about this woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess? All right, present active participle, calling of lego. Now, this tells you something, people. How did she maneuver herself into a teaching position in this assembly? How did she do that? She convinced them by calling herself a prophetess. And that is impressive, especially at this time in history, and they wanted to hear a prophetess. So she kept telling everyone she was a prophetess, and so they... Because she kept saying that and kept saying that, by going by the present participle here, I would imagine that Jezebel very carefully worked her way into the teaching position. She probably told some of the members, and the members, members not official members, but people who came to the assembly, they didn't have membership roles. And then they told the pastor, teacher, and okay, and she kept saying it, and it probably get around to more. So the pastor teacher probably lets her in to start doing some teaching, and he might have given her a class where he didn't want to be there, or wasn't there. I don't know how he did it, but anyway, she kept saying, "I'm a prophetess," and this comes from the word prophetess, comes from the word pro, P-R-O, which you know means before. And Phemi, P-H-E-M-I, and that means to tell, so it means to tell beforehand, and this is a prophet. And you put it in a feminine form, a prophetess. And everyone was impressed with this woman. Everyone was impressed with this Jezebel. And she apparently was a very good speaker. People are often impressed with good speakers, and that's fine, I am too. If I had a voice, or the voice I would have, I would love to have Richard Burton's voice. I just think that's the greatest voice in movies that I've ever heard. I wouldn't care what he taught. I'd go to listen to him say it. And but people like people that speak and that are articulate. And she was a prophetess, and she was very good at what she did, as we'll see. I'll come to all of that as we go through these things. Okay, we're not through yet. Look what her teaching did. They tolerated her teaching. What's the problem? Look what her teaching did. And she teaches. There she is. There's a problem. You let her teach. And leads my bondservants astray. Okay, what happens when you tolerate a false teacher? It's eventually going to influence you, people. A false teacher will eventually influence you. And she teaches. Right there in the assembly of Thyatira, the pastor teacher, authority of the church, has allowed her to do this over the members. And so we have the all-important word, didasko. D-I-D-A-S-K-long-O. Didasko. And it means to teach. And that's what she was allowed to do. She was allowed to get up and teach. He should not have allowed that. This woman is a false teacher in this church. And you know, therefore, that there's going to be trouble. There's going to be severe trouble. She is a woman teaching the church, which is no place for that. Secondly, she is a false teacher teaching this church. There's going to be trouble. Now, the next word tells us a great deal about false teachers. and leads astray. Teaches, and the word and even, in other words, this is what our teaching does, and we have the present middle infinitive of planeo. And I want to show you some things about this word so that you'll understand what we have happening. Planeo. It's not an ordinary word in the language. Planeu, long O. Almost like Plano. Planeo. Okay. Wow. Let's talk about it. Planeo. People, this is what a false teacher does. This is the damage. Okay. Now look what she does. Planeo. You know what I've got? That wasn't even like Plano. The word is planeo. I'm looking at another word. Plana, long O. Now, let me tell you about this word. Planeo. First of all, I want you to draw attention to this word. It's in the infinitive. That's very important. It's in the infinitive. He changed to the infinitive. Now, why did he do that? Why did Paul change to the infinitive? Every now and then you want to think in language. He changes to the infinitive. Present, middle, not indicative, or imperative. This is infinitive. Now, he did this from the standpoint of the powers of darkness. It denotes, this is the infinitive of intent. Infinitive of purpose. From the standpoint of the powers of darkness, this is the intent. This is the purpose. People, right here is what's important about the languages. When I was in seminary, I went in thinking, like a lot of people wrongfully think, Greek, the Greek of the New Testament, boy, it's absolute, and that's what it says. That is so wrong, because it can mean so many different things. It's not that way. The secret is not in the languages. And one of the things that you deal with in learning the languages is when you have things like, well, any of them, but when you have the infinitive, you've got to identify what use of the infinitive it is here. And this is where the work of the Holy Spirit comes in. You can look up in a computer. Anybody can go to a computer and they can say, okay, this is a present middle infinitive, and the computer will tell them that. But what do you do with that's the issue. It's not a matter of just saying it's present middle infinitive and go on. And, oh, well, it's present middle infinitive. What kind of infinitive? Why did Paul change to the infinitive? And this is where it gets important. Now, what you have Paul's telling us is, as far as the powers of darkness are concerned, this was her infinitive of intent, infinitive of purpose, to lead astray. That was the intent or purpose. Now I'm going to do something fun with you, though. But from the standpoint, see, that's the powers of darkness. I hope you're with me now. Satan's objective is to do what? Is to, by this teaching, to lead astray. Let's look at it from the standpoint of the assembly. Here's the standpoint of the assembly. What this now turns into is an infinitive of result. This now becomes an infinitive of result. So it depends on how we're going to look at this. If you want to look at this infinitive leading astray from the standpoint of the false teacher, the power of darkness that is infiltrating this or inspiring this, it is the intent or purpose to lead this assembly away from running well. Now, do all false teachers, do they have this intent or purpose? No. Most of the time through church history, a false teacher doesn't have that intent or purpose because they think they're doing right. They think they're doing God a favor. They think they're teaching truth when they teach works. And they teach that you have to perform. And all these types of things. But the power of darkness that's going on, this is an infinitive of intent or purpose. Now, from our standpoint as the assembly, what is the result of her teaching? The result of the teaching of the false teaching is to be led astray. So to be deceived. This is what a false teacher does. So we have, they sneak in, come in unaware. Now we have, they deceive with their teaching. This is what they do. Now, they deceive, or she teaches, leading astray or deceiving. Now let's note who is led astray. This is also important for you. Who's led astray from running so well? Look at the beautiful word. My servants. People, the Lord cares about the members of the assembly. Jesus Christ uses a wonderful possessive pronoun translated mine. What belongs to me? My servants. It's what you and I are. It's a beautiful possessive pronoun. What belongs to me? Why do we belong to Him? Because of His work on the cross and because we've made a decision to trust Him as our Savior. So the word service, the servants here, doulos, used to denote the relationship, a wonderful permanent relationship that we have. He cares. He cares about the assembly. Okay, so this is what it is. His servants were running well, this group of believers, in the Spirit, but they listened to a false teacher, and by her were deceived, by the false teacher were deceived. People, there are many believers who know better but tolerate false teaching. And I want to tell you something, eventually it's going to get you. You're not going to be able to withstand it. And there are a lot of people who play with, listen to, and for all kinds of reasons. Well, I go to church to please my wife. I go to church to please my husband. I do this because of this, and I do that because of that. And well, he makes me feel good. He makes this. He makes that. People, if they're teaching false, and I'm not telling you what to do or not do. I'm just giving you some warnings from Thyatira. Be careful. Be careful. Because if you listen long enough to a false teacher, they will deceive you. Your thinking will start, it may be very slow, and it's so subtle, and you'll say, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense, yeah. And pretty soon, you're gone. Now, note the result of being deceived. We've seen who the false teacher is, how she works by teaching, what her teaching is designed to do, to lead them astray, who's led astray his servants. Now, the result of being deceived. Look at finally where they end up. So that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, I'm going to tell you something right up front, and I want to be sure you understand this. This is not talking about isolated immorality sin that someone in the church may be doing. This is talking about committing acts of immorality and eating sacrificial things and calling it right. Saying it's okay. Please make that distinction. Because a lot of preachers get away from the context. And boy, this is where you get all your sermons on all the wrong sins. And sin is sin and it's wrong. That's not what's being said here, though. That we have enough passages we can talk about immorality and the wrong of immorality. So I'm not being a little weak on it. I'm trying to show you what this passage is about. They were led so far that they were saying it was okay. Justifying it. They weren't out of fellowship, if you want to use that word. They weren't out of the Holy Spirit. That's how far this had gone. Closest I can come to it today is somebody who stands up in these churches and say, homosexuality is okay. I still have a problem understanding why two men or two women having sex is not a sin, but a man and a woman having sex is a sin. I haven't quite figured out their logic of thinking yet. So whether or not we agree that homosexuality or lesbianism is wrong, the very fact of doing something is wrong. So, but let's don't get into that argument. My point is that we got the whole assembly thinking, okay, this is fine. You're not out of the plan of God. You're not in sin. You're not wrong if you do this. People, if you're involved in immorality, it is a sin, and you're out of the plan of God, boom. That's it. But what we're talking about here, and I want to stress this, they were getting to the point, this is how strong a false teacher can be, that it was okay. That's why you have the two together. How could you be talking about acts of immorality if you're talking about isolated sin and eating sacrifice, paying sacrifice to idols? People, this were accepted. What's going on here? Okay, the aorist active infinitive. Again, people, there's that infinitive. The purpose of the power of darkness is to get acts of immorality and eating things sacrificed to idols. The word is pornuo, which means idolatry. That's where we get the word porno. Hebrew, idolatry. I'm going to read to you something from a lexicon. Quote, the relationship existing between God and His church, parentheses, being exemplified by the emblem of a conjugal union, parentheses closed. In other words, our relationship with God is like a marriage relationship, physical sexual relationship, marriage consummated, parentheses closed, which is broken by those who worship idols. So let me read that to you again. The relationship existing between God and His church, parentheses, being exemplified by the emblem of a conjugal union, parentheses closed, which is broken, that union between us and God, by those who worship idols. Then it says, and eat. Aorist active infinitive. Again, now what's the infinitives? The intent and purpose of the powers of darkness to get them to do these things. The result, the infinitive of result, this is what happened in the church. This is a result of that teaching in the church. Has a result. Has a purpose in the powers of darkness teaching it. It has a result in the assembly. And eat. Aorist active infinitive, verb means to eat. Anything that is offered to idols. Okay, again, what is the issue here, people? And I'm going to do this quickly. They eat meat. That's blasphemy to our Savior. And I want you to understand, why is this such a big deal? People, at communion, do we eat meat at communion? No, we have bread. Why do we purposefully have, did they have meat in the Old Testament when they would have the Passover? Yes, they had the lamb. Now, why do we not have meat? Because our Passover lamb is slaughtered but one time. And only one time. He has been crucified once. And that's it. So now what we do in communion, we have the wine and the bread. We don't have meat. If we had meat, let me just make my point. Because we haven't dealt on this. If we have meat, doesn't something have to die for us to have meat? Yeah. That's the picture of what's going on. So when you have the meat that is offered to idols, it is blasphemy to your Savior who has already been crucified one time. And you're doing it in the religious part of the service. You're doing this as a worship that's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. Our Savior has been crucified but one time, and is blasphemy to try to do it again. Yes. Yes. In a worship service. Yes. All right. Well, unless it caused someone to stumble. And also, remember now, when we studied the introduction to Thyatira, there are a lot of guilds, labor unions, and they would go to the labor unions, and part of the labor union, a lot of the union's activities was to have a moment, what they would call it the spiritual moment, and they would have the food sacrificed to the animal and all, and everybody would have some of it. And that's what they were doing. So even if it wasn't happening in the assembly, they were doing it at the union, and to the union it was part of the worship of their idol. And they're involved in it. Okay. And eat meat sacrificed to idols. Now, let's look at what's going on. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. In spite of all the wonderful things about this church, there is a cancer. They tolerate a false teacher. Now, people, I'm just going to tell you, a lot of preachers and commentaries, they want to deal with this main thing is on the immorality, and they really just want to concentrate on immorality. They don't say much about the eating because that's not a big deal today. But boy, they really go into that. People, the problem is long before that. Please understand. Long before you accepted as part of the whole deal that immorality was okay, you listened to a false teacher. The false teacher is the real problem here. And they tolerated a false teacher. A false teacher is going to deceive you. A false teacher is going to lead you astray. And Jezebel has her way of taking you there. So this is their problem. One danger of love, people, one danger of grace is toleration. The danger of self-righteousness like of Ephesus was zero toleration and zero love. But a danger of grace is toleration. Look with me at Romans 5. I want to spend a little time on this because to me it's more important than what the end results were. How did I get to this point? Listen to a false teacher. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Okay, Romans chapter 5, and what I want to do is read from starting reading at verse 20. Romans 5, verse 20. And the law came in that the transgressions might increase. There's your purpose of law. Law was given to increase sin. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Now, before you read any further, do you see where he set himself up? Oh, well, you're teaching us to go sin. This will happen to almost any grace teacher. Any teacher, a preacher or teacher, pastor teacher who teaches grace is going to be accused of teaching sin. So let's take a look. And the law came in, the transgression might increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That, as sin reigned in death, even so, grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. See, if a teacher teaches it correctly, that's what people are going to say. Oh, well, then you're just saying we can do this. No, that's not what I'm saying. You're not listening. You're not listening. Now, do we sin that grace may increase? The answer is no. I got a question for you, though. Does grace increase when we sin? Always. Always, people. And that's what the self-righteous people hate. They hate that aspect. Look at chapter 6 with me, verse 14 and 15. Romans chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law. People, sin is master over you when you're under law, but under grace. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are no longer under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? May it never be. But you can see how what Paul has to fight here. You can hear what people were saying about Paul. And it's not what he's saying. So one of the handicaps in teaching grace is, I can just sin then. No, that's not what is being taught. It's not what's being taught at all. But this is what can happen to people. One of the dangers of living by grace is a toleration of sin. One of the dangers of living by love is a toleration of sin. If one teaches grace, he's going to be accused of this. If one teaches love, he's going to be accused of this. So we have the same dangers with love as we do with grace. Tolerance. Tolerance of one another. We're to love one another. But people, we're not to tolerate the false teachers that come in, and we're not to tolerate the sin. But there's a way to handle it. Ephesus didn't handle it correctly, and a lot of people don't in the Bible. But the point is that love is not going to tolerate it, but sometimes we think it will. Well, if I truly love, I won't do this, or I won't say anything. It's not love. That's not what love does, people. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, please. 1 Corinthians 13. I hope by now you know what 1 Corinthians 13 is. It's the love chapter. Not the sin, and we do not tolerate, we're going to deal with what to do correctly, but no, we don't. Let's read this, and then let me answer that. Let's read this, and then we're going to answer that, because I got it here. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13, 6. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Now, this passage doesn't say that love judges and separates and attacks and does all of these things. People, it does not tolerate unrighteousness. But we have to understand what love does do, though. Love doesn't just turn its head. So that's why we have passages. You go to that brother, you go to that believer, you go to them, you talk with them, and then if they don't, then you bring in another believer. We studied the various ways of handling this type of thing. Now, with Jezebel, it would have been very easy. Because here we're not talking about an isolated sin in the church. Here we're talking about somebody standing up in the assembly, the pulpit of the church, and telling them these things and teaching them false teaching. That you make very clear. You just pull her to the side and say, one, no more teaching. Two, well, so you'll see, look at Revelation 2. I want to show you what our Master did, what our Savior does. He doesn't just kick her out. And we haven't even studied her yet, but as horrible as all the things you can imagine that's going to be done, I want you to note, look what he says in verse 21 of Revelation 2. I gave her time to repent. I didn't just go up and kick her out. I didn't separate from her. I didn't do all those horrible things. I gave her time to repent. And she doesn't want to repent of her immorality. So the point I want you to see here is that where there is sin, individually, there's a way to handle it, but especially as far as being taught from the pulpit, there's even there a proper way to handle it from the false teacher, whatever the false teacher is teaching wrong. But to just sit and continue listening to the false teaching is going to bring deception and deceive us and cause us to stop running well. It will cause us to stop running well. If we tolerate the false teaching, whatever the false teaching is, that's why you have to be in the Spirit. I have to be in the Spirit. And we've got to let Him be the teacher. Let Him be the guide. Now, so there love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but we have to cover what love does about sin and false teachers. And I want you to just see that even the Lord here, with this horrible Jezebel, boy, he doesn't just kick her out. He goes to her. Now, he does this, I'm going to assume, to the pastor or to something, some way. And, okay, one, stop teaching. Two, repent of what you believe and what's going on here. And then get with the program of walking by faith. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. The woman Jezebel. People, no woman should run a church. But they have allowed this in Thyatira. Okay, principle. Satan infiltrates any local church where believers are running well. Running well, walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, loving one another, serving one another in love, these types of things. What is important for us in closing tonight is this. I got a few things I want to take you here. He has a multiple of schemes. He has a multiple of schemes for taking down a local church. Or individual. We studied with individual when Satan calls your name. But he has a multitude of schemes, people. If we start off with the Church of Thyatira, whenever they began, and then we look way over here to where they are now, and we talk to some of those believers, Did you believe that immorality was okay before God and eating the idols was okay before God? Absolutely not. And I firmly believe they would have said, absolutely not. Well, what happened to you between here and here, between that position and this position, false teacher. That's why I'm telling you people, we've got to be careful. You've got to be careful who we listen to. My goodness, let me just diverse just for a moment. You'd be surprised the wrong information about nutrition that's out there. The wrong information about even how to do weights and exercise in a weight room. It would blow your mind. I watch people and then I listen. I like to and you just no, that's not you're wrong. But of course you can't do that. It's none of your business. But that's just in exercising and nutrition. And people got so, you'll hear all kinds of things going on. People, it's more important in our spiritual life to know whether or not we're hearing the truth. Is it the truth or not? Is this the obedience? Is faith the obedience that God is looking for? Or does God really want me to perform? You have to answer that. Every one of you individually. You have to make up your own mind. Does God want me to perform? Because, boy, just seems like so many people say that. Or does God want me to walk by faith in the one that He has sent? What is it that God is looking for? And you can't stand on Mount Zion and Mount Sinai at the same time. You can't straddle. Have one leg on Mount Sinai and one leg on Mount Zion. You're going to be on one mountain or the other. And you have to make up your mind. I have to make up my mind. What God really desires. But Satan has so many schemes for taking us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Those of you that are taking notes, we're going to look at verse 11 and then you can turn to it. 2 Corinthians 2:11. None of the commentaries I read took all this time that we're doing on this aspect of Thyatira, but I'm more concerned with what happened. And why it happened, and that type of thing that I am, that's just studying what went on there. Why did it happen? Okay. 2 Corinthians 2:11. In order that no advantage be taken of us, that's in your spiritual life, people, by Satan. That's the who. That's the master of Jezebel. That no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. You want to be aware of his schemes. Look with me, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 6. Just keep rolling over to Ephesians. Galatians and Ephesians. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Chapter 6. If you're taking notes, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Familiar verse to many of you. Put on the full armor of God. Now, why do we want to put it on? That you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. He has schemes for taking down assemblies, taking down individuals. And note that you don't fight, you stand firm. Verse 12, for our struggle, and every one of us struggle, people, is not against flesh and blood. It's not against your husband, your wife, that person in the church, that man, that woman, their children. It's not flesh and blood, dear people. But against the rulers, that's the rulers of darkness, and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. He's designed all these things to neutralize the church of Thyatira, to neutralize a believer's life. People, we don't struggle. Most Christians fight with each other. Oh, you're the wrong, and you're the person. I got to get rid of you. I got to beat you. I got you. People, it's not against the flesh and blood. That's why I'm emphasizing the false teachers here and what the objective, the intent, the infinitive. Infinitive of intent and purpose, infinitive of result. There's a result that's going to happen in your life if you listen. They have an intent or purpose. One more passage. Please look with me at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8. Taking notes, 5:8. Be a sober spirit. Now, this doesn't mean you don't drink. Every time a Baptist sees the word sober, all he can think about is a bottle. People, this is talking something far more important than that. This just means in life. Be alert in life. Be a sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about, look like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Someone who's walking by faith. He cannot stand that, and he's going to take you down. Satan has many, many schemes to neutralize a local church. Just in our study, with Ephesus, get them so in love with doctrine. People, who would ever think that that could be a device? Get them so in love with Bible doctrine. People, Satan doesn't mind you becoming infatuated with knowledge. He doesn't mind. In Smyrna, what did he try to do in Smyrna? Roman pressure. Take away their lives. Take away their homes. Take away their possessions. Make them suffer. Boy, that'll cause a lot of people to leave. In Ephesus, he took their love. In Pergamum, he sent false teachers. The dragon has so many weapons. He uses false teachers. He uses women. He uses men. He uses our basic instincts. He uses Satan's lie. He uses self-righteousness. He uses legalism. He uses it all. And if you sit there and you try to figure it all out, it's going to be so confusing. So do the simplicity. Just walk in the Spirit. Just walk in the Spirit and let Him guide you. Be alert. Be alert to what you're listening. Wait a minute. That's not grace. That's not faith. That's not the truth of the gospel. That's not what God is looking for, what I'm listening to. Okay. We now come to the woman called Jezebel, and so we will devote next Tuesday night to Jez. I know her personally, so I call her Jez. All right. Let's close. And yes. Yeah. Yeah. We've seen a few. We've been there. And he has so many others. It isn't like, okay, you passed that one and now it's over. That's what's so alarming. You just can never let up. My favorite story is Abraham. My goodness, all he went through. He finally got the son, and now he's about 125 years old, and God knocks on his door, go kill your son. Go offer your son. What? Leave me alone. I'm 125. I've done it. I've been faithful and all of this. Now, just don't do it. No, he got up and he did it. But we're always on this journey, people. And he's going to attack and bring us down, and assemblies or individuals. He's got to infiltrate. He will do it with doctrine. He will do it with service. He will do it with a lot of different things. And then he'll do it through false teachers, whatever way he can. And we're going to see when we study Jezebel, he does the same thing in bringing down a nation. There's just certain things you have to do to bring down a nation. And those of us that have been around for a long time now, you start seeing it from the 40s with FDR, and you start draw some lines on your graph of the ideal of the home, the ideal of marriage. And you'll start seeing the line just going down, 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 down. And then you look where we are, and okay, I predict what's going to happen. And you can. You take away the home, you take away the respect and the sanctity of marriage, and you increase the various ideals of lesbianism and homosexuality. People, you can draw a line what's going to happen. It just open a couple of history books, and it'll not be a surprise. Will not be a surprise. So, okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the scriptures. We thank you, Father, that they exhort us, they encourage us, they direct us, and Heavenly Father, we appreciate the opportunity to come together tonight and look at these things and be warned by these things and to realize, Father, that there are some dangers with grace that we need to be aware of. There are some dangers with love we need to be aware of. And yes, Father, we want to serve one another in love. Even things we have to do that we may not like, but we can do it in love. Father, we praise you for the God you are. In Christ's name, amen.